The time is 4:30. This is KDNK. I'm station manager Gavin Dahl, sitting in for the next half hour and bringing you two interviews. We'll begin with Ian Silveri, Executive Director of Progress Now Colorado, looking back at the winners and losers of the 2019 Colorado legislative session. And then we will check in with reporter Elizabeth Miller, whose recent article for Bitterroot Magazine is Clean Energy Breezes Through Western State Houses. Joining me on the phone right now is Ian Silveri. Thanks for making time for our listeners in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond, Ian.
You bet, Gavin. Thanks for having me.
For the folks who don't know what you do, tell us about Progress Now Colorado.
Thanks. Progress Now Colorado is an organization that's been around for about 16 years here. We were founded back then to counter the sort of conservative spin machine that existed in Colorado. And right now, we're a staff of 12 creators and communicators who spend our time making sure that the good people of Colorado know where their elected officials stand on the issues critical to them and holding politicians accountable to the promises that they made to voters in whichever election just happened.
So throughout the session this year, your Week in Review videos were informative and funny. Even working at a radio station that's part of a statewide capital coverage news project, I learned a lot thanks to Week in Review. Was that a big breakthrough for Progress Now in terms of, you know, what you're known for, sort of mixing humor and knowledge to reach Colorado voters in a new way?
Exactly. And thanks for saying that. Yeah, it was an experiment that we tried. We put our video team pedal to the metal, and they had to produce 1 3-to-5-minute video every single week for the entirety of the legislative session. We internally called it the Ian Show. Externally, people referred to it as Shalom from the Dome,
right?
That was what I said before every episode. And the idea was to just kind of disrupt the way people get political news and make it more accessible to a larger audience. We're lucky in Colorado, right? We have a great state capital press corps, great political press corps. But to be honest, a lot of the coverage is extremely dense and it's very wonky. And if you don't already know anything about politics, it's hard to get through. So we were trying to bring things to a different audience and to let people know that there's a lot going on in your state right now. A lot of good stuff is happening at the state capitol, and to kind of just lower the barrier to entry for people who wanted to know what was happening in Denver but didn't have the time to read the Colorado Sun or the Denver Post or listen to, you know, the excellent public radio stations we have all over the place. People have lives. So we figured 3-to-5-minute video, people have time for it. And it started out with about 3,000 viewers a week. And then by the last episode, we were up to 25,000 views. So that was great that we were able to grow our audience that much in such a short amount of time.
Will the series return for season 2 next year?
Yeah. So we're getting ready right now to kind of pivot into a different kind of show. We hired a few interns this summer, and one of them really, really wants to do a show in both English and Spanish, because he's a fluent Spanish speaker, where he explains issues going on in Colorado to an audience that's a lot younger than even, you know, the one we have now. So young millennials and high school kids are taking an increased interest in what's happening on their state government, on the state level at their local government. And we want to make sure that folks are informed so that when they turn 18 and they're ready to vote, or when the next election comes around, if it's their first time voting, they are armed with all the information on the issues they need to make an informed choice.
I'd also add Progress Now distributes an extensive collection of news headlines on a daily basis for those of us interested in reading what various Colorado publications are reporting across the state. How many people subscribe to the Progress Now updates these days?
That's a great question. It's about 10,000 folks that get that specific email
Nice. Every
day, though our overall list is about 75,000. We have three different products that we send out every week. There's the Daily News Digest that you just pointed out. There's a email we send out every Monday called What You Can Do to Fight Back that we started after the end of the 2016 election, where people were looking for places to put their energy and looking for activities to do to, you know, start to figure out what happened in 2016 and how maybe we could have a more progressive outcome in 2018. And that has about a 45% open rate. It's kind of crazy if you're into email marketing that it's that high, and it's sustained that over the last couple of years. And then every Friday for a long time, we've done this email called Week in Review, which is a simple graphic. It's a 4-panel graphic that shows sort of the highs and lows of the news in Colorado over the last week.
So my guest is Ian Silveri from Progress Now Colorado. Ian, let's dive into the winners and losers of the 2019 legislative session in Colorado, just wrapped up earlier this month. Governor Jared Polis has been signing a lot of bills this week, and we'll talk about some of those. First, let's set this up by reminding listeners that in the last statewide election, Democrats swept every statewide office, so governor, secretary of state, attorney general, etc. What about the House and Senate? Can you recap what's the current mix of elected Democrats and Republicans in each chamber?
Sure thing. I'm prepared for your pop quiz, Gavin. So there are 65 members of the Colorado House of Representatives and 35 members of the Colorado Senate. That's 100 total legislators. And we don't have like a vice president or anything to break ties in the Senate. It's an odd number, which is how it should be. At 41 of the 65 are Democrats and 24 mathematically are Republicans. There are no unaffiliated or third party members of either chamber of the legislature. And that is the largest legislative majority that the Democrats have had in history and possibly that have ever had, that either party has ever had. I'm not sure about that.
So voters overwhelmingly elected Jared Polis governor. I mean, even Garfield County went for Polis here and handed Democrats control of both the House and the Senate. Like you said, overwhelming majorities. For KD&K listeners who've kept tabs on the legislature over the years, disgraced State Senator Randy Baumgartner dropped out of the ledge finally, and longtime Republican Representative Bob Rankin from right here in Carbondale shifted from the House and took over that seat in the Senate that Baumgartner had been in. And he was appointed to fill in there. So then many of Rankin's constituents back home here were stunned this year as the longtime moderate joined other Senate Republicans in an orchestrated effort to undermine the will of the voters with coordinated obstruction tactics. Now, in all your years at the state capitol, Ian, have you ever seen this level of obstruction before?
This is a great question, and thanks for bringing it up. I mean, the truth is, I worked with Bob Rankin quite a bit when he was Representative Rankin, and I was chief of staff to the speaker or deputy chief or legislative director, all the other jobs I had in the state capitol before coming to Progress Now 3 years ago. And I always thought Bob Rankin was a straight shooter, a great guy, super smart on education issues, super smart on the budget, moderate, really like accessible, voted with Democrats a bunch, but also has conservative leanings and voted with his party quite a bit. But you nailed it. I mean, it was kind of seeing a different guy in action this year in the Senate, and that could be one of a couple things, right? Like, there's the old saying, nothing unites the people of Earth like an attack from Mars. So even if Bob Rankin was, you know, pretty moderate, he may have perceived this session as being very, very, very progressive. And I think it was in a lot of ways, but not in this sort of like overreachy garbage narrative that some overpaid Republican political consultants have been trying to push. People are generally very, very happy with what happened at the legislature this year. We have universal free kindergarten.
Yeah, let's dive into that, Ian. We only have a few minutes, so let me hit you with some of these. We'll kind of go rapid fire here. So Progress Now lists regular people, local communities, kindergartners and parents, people in need of healthcare, LGBTQ youth, and Mother Earth among this session's winners. Losers include polluters, internet trolls, the gun lobby, anti-gay activists, and secessionists. So just, rapid fire here. Starting with education, the full-day kindergarten bill was truly bipartisan and commits about $175 million to address the issue. When Governor Polis made this a campaign promise, did you see it as inevitable, or was this a big win no matter what the vote count was?
You know, nothing in the legislature is ever inevitable, but I knew that Governor Polis had a very strong passion for this issue and was not going to take no for an answer. Having progressives in both chambers of the legislature made that happen. This bill had been brought every year for the last 4 years, and it died every year because the Republicans controlled the Senate. There were also financial challenges. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't just a purely partisan issue. There were Republicans who wanted to make sure that kids get a head start in kindergarten. They were just sort of fewer and further between. This year it was a bipartisan kumbaya, and I was really excited because, you know, this is something that we absolutely needed to do and can do. But as folks in the Roaring Fork Valley probably know all too well, about half of our school districts still have 4 day school weeks. So I still think there's plenty of education funding work that needs to be done, but full day K for every kid in Colorado, free full day K is a huge win for everybody in the state.
So we just have 5 minutes left. In terms of health care, there were several important bills passed this year. What do you think will be the most significant of those?
So there's two, I think, that are really important. One that's grabbing national headlines right now is the cap on insulin prices. People who have diabetes, this is a life-saving drug. They absolutely need this, and it should not be determined by whether or not you make a ton of money and can afford a multi-hundred-dollar medical expenditure every single month, whether you get to live or die. That is not the country that we live in. So I'm super proud of that. We're the first state in the entire country to cap the price of insulin. So that's huge. The second is something called reinsurance, which actually helps out folks in rural Colorado quite a bit because it's insurance for insurance companies. And this is pretty wonky and hard to explain, but the end result is that it can save people premiums between 20 and 30%. So premiums have been going steadily up and up and up for decades now. And some cost controls happened in the ACA, and then some parts of the ACA got, you know, repealed and ripped apart with Republicans in Congress and President Trump. But I think we finally are figuring out state solutions that'll lower the cost of healthcare. And then once we get the cost under control, we can really, really start to talk about expanding access, which is the thing we absolutely need to do.
So while regular people in need of affordable healthcare, parents of young children, and, you know, communities wanting to protect their air and water were all winners at the Colorado legislature this year, Progress Now also identified some losers. The dirty energy industry has been spending millions of dollars to convince Colorado voters that any environmental regulations will tank the economy. Clearly, that's a whole lot of, shall we say, natural gas that's blowing out of nowhere. Haven't the biggest polluters acknowledged now that nothing the governor has signed this year will actually knock them out of business?
Turns out. So, I mean, it's one of these things where, like, the industry really likes to exaggerate quite a bit, you know, and it's a shame because we could really come together to solve some of these problems if they weren't so used to just spinning out hyperbole and not handling the issue. So as you know, there was like a lot of energy pent up over years and years and years because oil and gas companies were absolutely refusing to work with local communities on siting these wells. They were putting gigantic industrial operations in people's backyards and near their schools. And it was just an unacceptable status quo. So, you know, the progressives and environmental folks tried to bring the oil and gas industry to the table. Some operators came, most of them ignored the invitation, and put together a bill, Senate Bill 181, that passed and is now law, that does quite a few things to enhance local control. The key thing here is local control. So if you're Weld County and you want to keep fracking as close to people's houses as your constituents will allow, if your community is okay with it, you can still do that under this law. However, if you're Adams County or Broomfield or somewhere in the metro area where people are sick and tired of these giant industrial activities coming in hodgepodge to their communities and having light pollution and noise pollution and tearing up the roads for months and possibly years at a time to extract the gas out of the ground, you now have a say in it too. And your city council or your county commission can go ahead and put into law some reasonable restrictions on where drilling can take place, and I think that's a very good thing.
So why is the new red flag law, supported by 80% of Coloradans, such a significant rebuke of the gun lobby?
It's such a great question because I can't quite figure it out either. 80% of the Coloradans, including 60% of Republicans, in a poll by Magellan Strategies, which is a Colorado-based Republican polling firm, that's the level of support you have for the red flag law, also known as the Extreme Risk Protection Order, or ERPO, which basically gives law enforcement the tools to temporarily remove weapons from people who are in the midst of a mental health crisis. So, you know, there are plenty, unfortunately, here in Colorado, we know all too well, mass gun violence between Aurora and Columbine and then people coming to our state in order to try and commit these crimes who are having mental health issues. So I think it's ever more important to solve this problem. But it's very strange because, you know, last year when we brought this bill, it was supported by George Brockler, who's the 18th Judicial District District Attorney in the metro area. He lost the bid for Attorney General to Phil Weiser. It was supported by former Congressman Mike Kaufman. It was even supported by State Representative Cole Wyss, who lost his election to a guy named Tom Sullivan, whose kid was tragically killed in the Aurora Theater shooting. And Tom was the prime sponsor of this bill. So even though there was overwhelming support for the bill across the state and across the country, quite frankly, the gun lobby extremists decided that they were going to try and hunker down and beat this thing. Well, unfortunately for them, it passed. And now they're shamefully trying to conduct a recall election against Representative Sullivan, the gentleman I mentioned a minute ago who lost his son in the Aurora Theater shooting. And this has ripped the Republican Party apart. Most of them, see this as an unconscionable political decision, but some of them, even, especially the more radical extreme folks, are right behind him trying to get rid of this guy who did nothing but exactly what he told the voters he was going to do.
Yeah. So another thing we haven't touched on regarding LGBTQ folks, not only the bill to outlaw the bogus pseudoscience known as conversion therapy, but updating Colorado's comprehensive sex education laws. This was another big defeat for the anti-gay bigots. But don't you feel like this further marginalized conservative groups from the mainstream in our state?
I don't know what their plan is here. I mean, after getting thumped really badly in 2018, you'd think that they would do some soul searching and say, okay, we're losing elections we really shouldn't be losing in places in the state we shouldn't be losing them. What's wrong with us? Why aren't we connecting with regular average Colorado voters right now? Instead, what they're doing is doubling down and tripling down on the divisive social issues like being, you know, anti-gay, which is wildly unpopular in Colorado. We are a pro-LGBTQ state through and through, and being wildly, extremely anti-abortion, which is not even popular in Alabama, where they're trying to ban every single abortion with no exception for rape or incest victims. And here in Colorado, we've defeated personhood initiatives at the ballot three times by 3-1 margin. Instead of trying to figure out where they can connect with regular people, all they're doing is throwing red meat at their base and trying to get people all riled up and further divide. I think it's a shame, and I think the sex ed bill was a great example of it, because one of the core tenets of that bill was to make sure that LGBTQ youth were taught that they are born perfect, there's nothing wrong with them, they don't need therapy, they don't need to hate themselves. Colorado has one of the highest teen suicide rates in the country, and LGBTQ youth are disproportionate victims of suicide. So I think that this was a shameful action on behalf of the hardcore right wing, and I think it's going to come back to bite him in the 2020 election.
Ian Silveri, Executive Director of Progress Now. That's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for joining me on KDNK Community Radio. Let's do this again soon. If listeners want to learn more about Progress Now, where can they do that?
www.progressnowcolorado.org or our Facebook page at facebook.com/progressnowcolorado. Thanks for the opportunity. Look forward to visiting you all again soon.
Thanks, Ian.